And welcome again to Brew Crew Online. I am Benjamin Orr, and joining me tonight is Senior Staff Writer Lou Olson. So the Brewers, they looked better in June, but then they lost 2 out of 3 to the Astros, which we're going to get into in a little bit. Ryan Braun is now possibly out for a month. Adam McKelvey, beat writer for the Brewers, posted that earlier on talking on MLB Network earlier today that Braun may miss up to a month because of his right thumb. I believe it's a nerve that's bothering him. And just generally, the Brewers kind of look, I don't want to say lost because they aren't. It's just nothing seems to be working the way they want it to. I mean, when you're struggling against teams like Houston and you need to win these games and you're not getting guaranteed wins, not saying there are such things as guaranteed wins, but it's just 5-5 in the last 10 games, you know, currently in last in the NL Central, only really half game behind the Cubs, but things have got to start changing, and losing 2 out of 3 to Houston really does not put them in a better position of where they were.
No, and you know, Ben, I was able to tolerate the 10-1 thrashing you took 2 days ago. For whatever reason, getting blown out is just easier for me to swallow. Today's loss, with the 7-4 extra innings loss with a 3-run home run in the 10th inning, where we had the lead 3-0, that's the kind of game where you sort of, you throw up your hands, you look at all the red pegs in your battleship and scream, you sunk my battleship. That was terrible. Can I do another take of that?
If you want to.
No, it's too late, and it was terrible. It wasn't even a funny joke, so let's move on. How about this? They sucked today.
Well, yes and no, because you look at the effort that Gallardo did.
They were 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position, Ben.
Well, yes. Gallardo, he actually went 7 innings, and, you know, when that happens, you know, the pigs must be flying whenever a Brewer starter goes 7 innings at least. He didn't give up 3 runs, but none of them were earned because they came on 3 errors, or an error that the Brewers did. I'm sorry, I was reading that backwards. But he did strike out 6, give up 5 hits, only walked 2, but he didn't allow any earned runs. Henderson kind of goofed up, you know, giving up a run. Axford looked solid, and then obviously Mike Gonzalez, that big 3-run homer to Carlos Pena. But yeah, the Brewers, you know, leaving 8 men on base, 0-for-12 the runners in scoring position, just not really seeing the ball well at all. Just, you know, Ramos Ramirez 0-for-3, Juan Francisco 0-for-4, Yanesky Betancourt 0-for-4, but I mean, that's kind of to be expected now. Caleb Gindel 0-for-2, but he had a walk at least. You know, I've seen games the other day. I think the Brewers lost a game where they scored 3 runs and they had 12 hits. And when you have that many hits, you should have more than 3 runs. And the Brewers have opportunities; they're just not capitalizing on them clearly.
The real story here is that today there were 2 different opportunities for them to get to score a run. All they had to do was hit the baseball. You have Carlos Gomez on third base in the 7th inning with nobody out, and the guys following him are Aramis Ramirez, Jonathan Lucroy, and Yunieski Betancourt, arguably your 3 most proven run scorers going all in a row since Ryan Braun is out. And not only did they not score, Aramis Ramirez grounded out to the only place he couldn't ground out to score the run, which is third base, 1 out. Lucroy struck out, and Betancourt struck out. And you just look at that and you go, a team that wants to, that is a good team, will score that run somehow, some way. And then again, in the 9th inning, they had a runner on third with 1 out, and again, they couldn't deliver. And that's, so the pitching is all well and good. I feel better about the pitching now than I do about the offense.
And, you know, it's weird because the Brewers are a better offensive team than they are pitching-wise. I mean, pitching-wise, they're 21st and worst in every category across the board. And, you know, still, when Kyle Loesch is your team's leader in ERA at 3.68, I mean, there's some clear problems there. I mean, Gallardo's looked really good in his last 3 outings. He's been absolutely dominant. But, you know, he can't do it all alone. Narvison was reinstated from the 15-day DL, but they sent him down to AAA, which I really don't get. Estrada's going to be coming back soon. I mean, yeah, part of the problem is the fact that the Brewers had to go to two relievers to, you know, spot start for them, and Alfredo Figueroa is still continuing to start. Gorzolani, I'm not too sure he's going to continue to start, but the fact that the Brewers had to go to that says something about the starting pitching in general. And that was one of the biggest question marks that a lot of us had, you know, heading into the season. And the fact that Willie Peralta is still in this rotation just absolutely irks me. Peralta, I'm sorry, he needs to be back in AAA. He does not fit into this rotation at all.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think I read something the other day where they talked about Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux and, you know, and Roy Halladay and all these guys who, when, you know, they were like 23, 24 years old, and their first year, full year in the big leagues, they were awful, all of them. You just have to cut your teeth. And if, you know what, Ben, it's not like they're making a playoff push. What is it going to hurt to let the young guy cut his teeth? And then if he pulls this crap next year, then you know, you give him a shorter leash. I don't think it's any different than, you know, what you would do with a guy who you think can be a future ace. You just let him work it out, you know? Again, if they were competing, I'd feel differently, but since they're not, and right now it's basically Nashville, the Nashville team anyways, you got Gindel and Gannett, and you got Logan Schaefer, and you've got Josh Prince, you got all these guys running around when they really have no right to be there unless they're playing on the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it can be attributed to injuries, but it's just, it's not that I'm against Willie Peralta being in the rotation. It's just, if the Brewers do want to make any type of comeback this season, you know, which after last season, it is possible. It's just, if they continue to play the way they are, it's never going to happen. And if they want that to happen, Peralta can't be a part of the rotation. He just, and I understand, you know, he's 24 years old, he's a young pitcher, but, you know, it's one of those things that if he continues to do this way, you're not really helping him because he's just getting battered each time. And the chances of him turning into the next, you know, Roy Halladay or Greg Maddux, I mean, what are the odds of that? Really, I'm not saying he can't become a better pitcher, but it's just, I don't see letting him take a beating each time out.
Well, I mean, as long as Ron Renneke is manager, starting pitchers are just going to go out there and get whooped on because he doesn't know when to take them out, and he just doesn't know. He's very out of tune with his pitchers. Look, man, they're 14 games under 500. They're in last place. Just let the kid pitch. I mean, yeah, you're hurting his morale, but aren't you also hurting his morale by demoting him? I mean, what do you really have right now that is viable and in front of you and is better? Until Narvison and Estrada are really back, you don't have anything. So let him pitch and just see what happens. And to be honest with you, Figueroa is better out of the bullpen. I would rather he be in the bullpen than starting. He's much more valuable as a long relief pitcher.
I mean, personally, I've always liked the thought of Tyler Thornburg starting. I've just liked him as a starter, but he's in AAA. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying a switch of Peralta and Thornburg is something that's necessary at the moment because, like you said, you know, the Brewers are really far back. So, you know, is there a point for them to even try to begin to pick up the pieces, you know, being literally worse than the Cubs this season? And, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. It's just, it's one of those either or decisions, either way decisions you can go with. And you're right. I mean, you have pretty much half a Nashville team. You should just bring up Hunter Morris at this point, and hey, you pretty much have them all.
Yeah.
Not that I, you know, agree with bringing Hunter Morris. At least not now. But
why not? I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to be funny or my usual sarcastic jerk self. I mean, why not? I really don't know why you wouldn't at least give it a shot. Because
I think somebody like Hunter Morris, who I know they want to build around, I would give him a little more time in AAA. Because if you want this team to at least compete in the future, you don't want to rush up all your players.
I mean, you say that, but then I look at teams like the A's and the Tampa Bay Rays, and I look at all these teams where they just plug those guys in and they go, and they don't ever skip a beat. And I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know why we should coddle these guys anymore. If they work, great. If they don't, then you just move on. And I feel like that is a better method to try to find victories than what they're doing right now. Staying the course is not the answer, and it's not working, and it's not going to work. This team just isn't... You have some really awesome parts, but you just don't have the whole... You don't have the whole package.
Yeah, because it's just... It's so spread out. You have, as we talked about before, the four core players that this team should build around, and...
You know what's interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up, is I feel like we picked the original four, and now all of a sudden in all these other places, like Brewer Publications, I'm seeing that, oh, well, these four are guaranteed to be safe. And I'm like, yeah, we've been saying that for weeks. You guys are targeting the party. Go on. I just wanted to give us some credit where credit was due. Because I'm serious, we talked about that, the four being safe, like maybe three weeks ago already, and now all of a sudden this last week, after that 10-1 loss, I saw it in like three different spots. About because people overreacted and they were all jumping ship and they wanted to trade everybody except the core four.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's actually going to happen. I definitely think the Brewers are going to trade somebody.
I think Giovanni Gallardo is going to get traded.
I think it's going to be Ramirez. I think Aramis Ramirez is going to go.
I don't know. I don't. If I was a general manager and I watched that game, the last few games, I'd be like, boy, he has a really hard time hitting the Astros.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at some teams, and I can think of one off the top of my head, you know, that need a third base.
Which team, Ben? Which team could you be talking about?
There's one team in particular that I know needs a third baseman, and it's fighting for contention. That's New York Yankees.
Oh. Go on.
You know, with Brian Cashman's track record of wanting to get veteran players... And I mean veteran players.
Right. Now, Ben, as a man who knows a bit about the New York Yankees yourself, who do you think we would get in return for Aramis Ramirez? Who would I have to look forward to ridiculing on the weekly podcast?
Well, that's the thing is...
Philip Hughes, perhaps?
No, the Yankees wouldn't trade Hughes for... See, the thing about the Yankees is they're trying to build themselves through starting pitching because... You know, obviously, CC Sabathia is not going to last forever. Kuroda's probably gone after the season. Pettit's going to retire soon. So they want to at least build with the people they have, namely Phil Hughes, if they even decided to re-sign him, David Phelps, guys like that. I wouldn't expect anybody huge in return for Aramis Ramirez if you trade him to the Yankees. Maybe
Jorge Posada.
Yeah, maybe Jorge Posada. Maybe
out of retirement.
And Hideki Matsui, too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
If I had to take a stab at it, you're going to see maybe some double-A pitcher. If the Brewers weren't pitching it, it's going to be a double-A player. Maybe a triple-A. I'm not so sure the Yankees are going to trade anybody on their 40-man who's ready to come up at any moment.
I give that two fart noises.
I mean, it really depends because... Like I said, the Yankees are just one example of a team. I think the Dodgers could also be another example of a team that could use a third baseman. Because I don't think Uribe is really cutting it out there.
Boy, it'd be sweet if we could get Yasiel Puig out of that. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, trade Aramis Ramirez for Yasiel Puig. Maybe throw Kershaw in there, too.
Yeah, those guys are... They're young. They're going to break down. You might as well unload them now while there's still time.
You know, and you know, it's funny talking about trades and things like that because... Let's say hypothetically, because I wrote this in an article I just wrote not too long ago. Let's say hypothetically that the Brewers trade Aramis Ramirez and Corey Hart isn't back yet. Juan Francisco is probably at first, and I definitely see Scooter or Bianchi going to third for the time being. Mm-hmm. And it's very possible, let's say, and also hypothetically as well, we head into next year, the Brewers don't re-sign Corey Hart, which I don't see happening if they trade Aramis Ramirez.
Yeah, there's nothing hypothetical about that. I mean, that is a fact. That is, he will not be re-signed.
So then next year, do you see Gannett at third and Hunter Morris at first?
Nope.
Or Gannett at second and Hunter Morris at first?
Yep.
And Juan Francisco at third?
Yep. That one.
That one.
That's the infield. I mean, Hunter Morris, Scooter, Gene, and then Juan Francisco.
So,
I mean, why not?
If Aramis Ramirez is traded, you know, within the next month, who takes over third? Juan Francisco?
Yeah, him and Uni Betancourt platooning probably because Ron Renke loves platooning.
Yeah,
somebody should get the guy a platoon boat.
I was reading something Renke said about Uni, and he's like, yeah, he's still swinging the bat really well. And I'm like, what? No.
Which person are you talking about? Are we talking about the same guy?
Yeah, in the month of June, Unesky Betancourt's hitting 136.
Oh, that is awesome.
So,
you know, he's on pace to have one of the worst WARs in the history of the game. Think about his first month, and think about how bad it has gotten. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a crush.
He is almost undone that 1 month of goodwill with me already, because every time he gets up now, I just go, it's uni time. Grounder. Strikeout. Infield fly. Strikeout.
Yeah, you just better hope that you don't put him in for a clutch situation.
No, I don't. I think those days have long since passed.
But yeah, it's just, you know, that's one aspect of training Ramos Ramirez, and the whole Corey Hart thing is just, he probably won't come back till after the All-Star break now, so he's just completely missing more than he wanted to of 2013. But what do you do?
Why don't I feel like I'm the only one who was not surprised by that? I kind of knew all along that we wouldn't see Corey Hart till the All-Star break. None of this is surprising or a new development to me.
You know, and clearly... I mean,
oh, no, I was done. I was just rambling.
And clearly this hurts Hart because it's a contract year for him. Not only does it hurt his trade value, but it hurts his, you know, the Brewers possibly extending him to what he wanted. And, you know, Lou, in your opinion, what is Corey Hart's future?
Here's what's going to happen. On the open market, all anyone's going to offer him is a one-year deal. Here's why. Because no one wants to sign a guy to a longer-term deal who missed half a season with a knee injury, especially a guy who's already 30. So here's what's going to happen is if he can only get one-year deals for, let's say, even just decent money, let's say four, maybe a year contract for like $4 or $5 million, if the Brewers can give him some stability and maybe pay him a little bit less, I bet you he'll take it just to stay in the same place. I feel like at this point, that's the only way he stays a Brewer, is if he goes out there and all he can get is, you know, 1 year, $4.5 million from the, you know, from the Marlins. I feel like he would probably take lesser money for a few more years if the Brewers are willing to do that to stay.
Do you see him switching leagues at all and possibly becoming a permanent DH?
No. I think he's too hot and cold. He could do that, certainly, but he's too hot and cold of a hitter. I don't feel like he's not consistent enough. Just like Ricky Weeks would be could never go be a DH. Just too streaky. They go in these horrific waves. Like if they were on a graph, you'd get seasick. You'd think someone was doing a roller coaster SimCity. It'd be absurd. Be the most horrific graph to look at ever.
And then the roller coaster eventually disappears because
you'd see all your dead relatives emerging from it and rising into the sky, and people would be throwing up, their heads would be rotating, children would be screaming in the streets, there would be rioting. The team that signs them to be a DH, they deserve everything that's coming to them. I'm talking to you, New York Yankees.
I don't even think the Yankees are even stooped to that.
Probably not. I would hope not.
Wow, that's pretty strong.
So. Yeah, I got on a roll there. That's my bad. I don't think that they're that bad. I just think that they're way too streaky. They're better served in the National League. I understand Pittsburgh is a lovely city, and they love Brewer scraps. I've also heard that... actually, you know what? I bet you Corey Hart would go play with Dale Swain.
In Chicago?
Yep. That would make sense to me. Him and Dale Swain were compadres, and they, when Corey Hart was coming up, they worked really hard together, and I bet you he'd go play for Dale.
As long as he doesn't go to the Cardinals.
He better not. I almost cussed. I had to catch myself. He better effing not.
There you go.
That's treason. punishable by death.
Yeah, we don't mess around because nobody likes the Cardinals. I don't think the Cardinals like the
Cardinals. I know a guy who knows a guy who went to college with Aaron Hernandez, so...
Really?
Too soon? No, that's not true, Ben. Come on. How long have you known me? That can't be true.
True.
Come on, Ben. It was just a joke. I don't know anyone who knows Aaron Hernandez. I know someone who knows a guy named Aaron Hernandez, probably. I can't confirm that either.
Need sources.
Yeah, I assume that I probably do, though.
So, the Brewers, though, do have a 0.7% chance of making the playoffs, so...
Wait, how much is that percent?
0.7.
Where did you get this information? That's a pretty generous bookie.
I was looking at the standings.
Oh. I thought you got that from, like, a gambling website. Oh, 0.7%. So that's pretty good.
I mean, there's a chance.
I mean, yeah, but it's a dumb and dumber chance. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Exactly. I mean, the Houston Astros have 0.2% chance, and the Miami
Marlins... But how can that be? They're better than us.
And the Miami Marlins have a 0.1.
Well, how can that be? They're almost better than us.
Actually, no, Houston's actually still worse than us. Houston's 28-46. We're 29-42.
Only as far as the standings are concerned. On the ball field, that is not the case.
True. I mean, hey, the Cubs are at 3.5%.
No... Well, see, almost cussed again. That's now that's surprising to me. They're a mess too.
The Cubs have a higher percentage in the playoffs than we do.
Ah, yes. You know what is interesting though? My brother-in-law and I were joking even before the season started. I was like, "It's going to be a sweet race for the bottom of the division this year," and I was just kind of being a smart aleck about it. And who knew that I was going to be so deadly right? Just jockeying for last place. I wish the Astros would come back. Well, why couldn't we go to the AL West where our terribleness would be overshadowed by the A's and the... Or, not the A's, the Angels and the Mariners. Curses.
Well, I mean, they're not doing that bad. I don't know why. I remember... I forgot to send it around earlier this season. It might have been Justin, it might have been Kurt. About our predictions for this season, you know, as always. I don't know why I had Seattle making the AL wild card.
Were goofy.
I had Seattle making the AL wild card. I had the Angels in the World Series.
What?
Yeah, I had an Angels-Nationals World Series.
Oh, maybe I had the Angels in there. No, I don't think I did, now that I'm thinking about it. I don't care. It's irrelevant. Although, you shouldn't have picked the Mariners. That was just goofy. Yeah, I'm going to a Mariners game next weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm going to have a lot of baseball here in the next few weeks.
Certainly can't complain about that.
No, sir. Hey, real quick, for anyone listening, people still listen to this, right?
Every once in a while?
Yeah, I feel like we have people who probably do. So, on the weekend of July 5th, 6th, and 7th, we are all officially booked, locked, and loaded, and the entire RTB staff is going to be taking over Miller Park. For the New York Mets series. Very exciting stuff.
And we might even see Sean Morgan pitch.
Maybe. The sky's the limit. But I'm most excited about hopefully catching Ricky Weeks' 1,000th career strikeout, as well as maybe K-Rod's 300th career save. Because the team's bad enough where we could slide into that, and Ricky Weeks can hold out, you know, only strike out maybe 7 or 8 times in the next week and a half or so, and we'll be there.
Boy, God, I hope not. I hope Rodriguez has his 300 save before then.
I don't know. The schedule gets a little hairy now.
Yeah.
I might be doing a lot of drunk deep thoughts again coming soon. I haven't had to do them for a while. So we might be... Don't call it a comeback.
Yeah, because you never know in this game what's going to happen.
No, but you can forecast sometimes and not be entirely wrong.
Okay.
I mean, the schedule, I mean, it is not favorable. It's just not. I mean, we got the Braves now, and I'm not, if you're excited about a 4-game or a 3-game set with the Braves, you're you're not sharing. Yeah, you're not sharing whatever you're smoking, and you should probably do that. But then we have the Cubs, but then we have the Pirates, and then the Nationals going into our series, so it is entirely possible that K-Rod does not get that 300th save.
And that'll be the sad thing, too.
It might be, man. It might be.
I'm calculating this out, and bear with me for a second. But this is what I think the matchup is going to be, who will see pitch.
Okay.
On Friday, I believe it's going to be Kyle Loesch.
Okay.
On Saturday, cool. I believe it'll be Gallardo. Oh. And Sunday, I believe it'll be Peralta.
So. Hey, that'll be a nice weekend of excitement. Although the last time I saw the Brewers play the Mets, it was not pretty.
I can try to calculate this pitcher for the Mets, too, if you give me a second. But
Is Markham's back, right? He's pitching, isn't he? Because if he's not, we're doomed.
I don't know, but we'll forget to see Matt Harvey, though. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Well, maybe not as sweet as I think it would be.
Yeah, that's a good... actually, no, it might still be sweet. But anyways, now we've gotten way off topic.
We're still Brewers related.
Yeah, we're still Brewers related. But if you are going to the games that weekend, we will tweet where we are at, and you can come and hang out with the RTB staff. Although, you might not want to. I wouldn't. But, you know, I have standards, so. Oh, wait. No, this includes me. Never mind. Yeah, everybody should come.
Yes. We want everybody there.
Everyone.
No, we might see Wheeler, Nice, and Hefner.
Ew. I don't want to see any of those guys.
We're going to miss Harvey by a day.
Crap. And Sean Markham is playing in Japan, so I don't see
him either. No, the Wheeler spot, though, might be Sean Markham's because Wheeler and Sean Markham were kind of battling out. So we might see Sean Markham. It's very possible.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Maybe Markham versus Loesch.
See his baggy pants. So I love when he used to come, like when he would take his step towards the plate, those pants would just flail in the wind because they were like 14 sizes too big for the guy. Or he got them bell-bottomed intentionally so that it looked cool.
You know, that's how he does things.
That's how I would do things if I was rich and throwing the baseball for a living.
So, but yeah, I don't know what we were even talking about.
We were talking about the RTB weekend, and then we got sidetracked
before that.
Oh, before that. No, I don't remember what we were talking about. It probably wasn't positive, though, if I was a bet man.
You'd probably be a winner on that bet. Okay, new topic. Because the Brewers have had now six rookies make their debuts this year. Donovan Hand, Josh Prince, Chris Davis, Scooter Gennett, Caleb Gindel, and I'm blanking on the last one, but there's six of them.
Who are we missing? Are we missing anybody?
Yes, we are. Did I say Donovan Hand?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm just...
That's all right.
You see what the working world does to me?
Yeah, it's all right. It happens, man.
But yeah, I mean... Hiram Burgos, that's who it was.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of forgot about him.
Yeah, I forgot about him, too. What happened to him?
He went on the DL, and...
everybody else.
As of a day ago, it says he's going to make one more rehab start with High A Brevard County. Before being activated from the disabled list,
so Burgos. Good. I like him. Let's get him back.
Yeah, I mean his ERA is really deceiving at 6.44. But that's because he took that 12-run shellacking against the Reds.
Yeah, that's not his fault. That's the captain. That's the skipper's fault.
Because he's like, oh, let's leave him in, right?
Yeah.
No.
The old kicking a dead horse routine. Thanks a lot, Ron.
But No, it's, okay, as I was going to say, a new topic. It was, if we look at next year, we look at, obviously, there are going to be some players that are going to be gone, but would you clean house with this team?
Yes. Did I answer that too quickly? Should I have thought about it more?
No, I just wanted an answer in general, but hey, that works.
Yeah, man, I mean, what do you have to lose? You're on pace to lose 100 games, so it's kind of like, why not, man? Just let it rip. See if Ricky Weeks can turn around the second half of the season. Maybe you can parlay him into something cool in the off season. I mean, the truth is that Brewers fans will go no matter what. We'll still follow him. We'll still watch him. We'll still go to the games. And at least if they're young guys, we can all lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that we're only bad because we've got 22-year-olds playing. And because what it is right now is just no fun. It's no fun watching a team that has a high payroll and has all these veteran guys and should be competing just poop the bed day after day, week after week.
So obviously you think Gallardo is going to be traded. Where would you trade him to?
I don't know. Because I mean, you got to get a good value for him. I would like to see. I mean, the only other team that I know the farm system for intimately is the Mariners. I'd love to see him get traded to the Mariners and then the Mariners unload some of their sweet prospects to us. But you know, the truth is though is that a lot of those prospects never pan out. So it's sort of like, you know. I don't know. I trust Doug Melvin and I trust Mark Attanasio to not undersell him. So I mean, the way they parlayed that Greinke trade, they've got some wiggle room with me if they don't land every guy. Because I still think Johnny Helwig and Ariel Pena are going to be Major League Brewers before too long. So it's kind of like if we get three Major Leaguers on one trade and then only one from another trade, I think I can live with that.
Because you know. I know one team in general that needs it starting pitching more than anything, and that's the Baltimore Orioles. Now, I doubt this trade would ever happen in a million years, but hey, it has a possibility, right? And let me just throw this out here. I'm not setting this in stone. I'm just throwing it out as an idea. What if the Brewers traded Yuani Gallardo to Baltimore for Manny Machado? Would that actually happen?
I accept your trade offer, Ben.
I mean, because this is assuming that the Brewers...
No, you don't have to say anything else. I accept your trade offer. You can have Yuani Gallardo. We will take Manny Machado.
Because, I mean, the Orioles have wiggle room with people, and they need starting pitching more than anything.
I mean, how would you not take that trade? Like, all my quiet, weird, creepy voice aside, how do you not make that trade? How do you just... Even if they throw that out there in jest, you should be like, yeah, no, I'll take that deal.
Because it's not like Manny Machado's a bad player. He's 20 years old. He has tons of room to grow. And he's a proven major leaguer.
That's the thing. He's 20 years old. You still have him under club control. If you can lock him up to something a little more long-term before he blows up, boy, you would really set yourself up nicely.
You know, I look at these people like Manny Machado and Bryce Harper and Jerickson Profar, who I'm actually older than, and I'm like, what am I doing with my life at 20?
Buddy, I'm older than most Major League Baseball players, so you get used to it after a while. It's weird. It's weird, like, I was just watching the College World Series, and I'm looking at these guys who are twice my size, and I'm like, holy cow, how can that be possible? But
no, I mean, this is assuming that the Brewers would trade Aramis Ramirez away, and if they do that, I mean, if you're the Orioles, I mean, it's not a bad trade. I mean, if Yuani Gallardo's name is thrown around with that, you have to at least be like, eh. It's not bad, because the only other team that I know of that needs starting pitching more than they probably need oxygen, which is kind of funny considering where they are, is Colorado.
Yeah.
Because the Rockies just... I mean, Jorge De La Rosa is about it. I mean, I always thought it was kind of a crazy idea, but you get these cost-controlled guys, and it's like, I would love an infield that was, you know, someday possibly Hunter Moore, Scooter Gennett, Gene Segura, and Manny Machado.
Boy, that would be sweet.
I mean, then you have an outfield of Braun, Gomez, probably Aoki, and then you have a catcher, Jonathan Lucroy. That's a pretty good team.
Yeah, that would be nice. I approve. I accept your trade, Ben. I've already accepted it, but I accept it again.
Well, thank you. But, you know, it's just... Would there be anybody else, though, in your opinion, that you would want to trade off, besides Ramirez and Gallardo?
That I would want to? Well, I don't want to trade Gallardo.
Well, no, but I mean, that probably could get traded.
Oh. still feel like Martin Maldonado could just be traded for some sort of scrap if a team made a strong enough play for him. I feel like, actually, that's really probably all they have that's of any value. Ricky Weiss won't have value until the season's over. That's where he'll be able to carry the most value. But, you know, I really haven't made it much of a secret how I feel about old Rick.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Because you said the consistency thing. That's the biggest problem that he's had. And even last year was a huge thing for him.
I mean, look at... I mean, at one point his batting average was almost 150. Now it's, you know, now it's almost up to 230. And, like, he did that in a matter of a couple weeks. The guy just is so inconsistent. You just can't expect anything from that guy because you just don't know what you're going to get ever.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I don't see Ricky Weiss having much of a future after his contract runs out.
I honestly don't see him on the team next year. Even though I don't think Scooter has done as well as he probably needs to solidify that, I still feel like when you watch Scooter play, you just sort of get the feeling that there's a reason that they called him up this early, and it's to learn from Ricky so that they can trade him in the offseason and not feel that bad about it. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense. Calling him up this soon doesn't make any sense otherwise.
But, yeah, we're going to have to move on because my internet hates me. So we're going to go on with hitter and pitcher of the week. Lou, who are your picks for hitter and pitcher of the week? Man, that is not easy to say.
It is hard to say. Might have to work on that. For pitcher this week, I'll go Yovani Gallardo. He pitched two games. We won the Reds game, but then lost today, but we really should have won today. So, I mean, as far as body of work in a single week, I'll say he's the best pitcher. Hitter, I'll go Johnny LaCroix. He looked good this week. He swung a nice stick. He had a couple home runs, if I'm remembering correctly, one today. And I feel like he might have had one in the Red Series, too. I'm not sure. So, yeah, I'll go Johnny and Yovani this week.
But I agree, though. I agree a lot with Gallardo because in his past 25 innings, he hasn't allowed a single earned run. Really should have won his last three outings, but things kind of went AWOL today with the bullpen. With my hitter of the week, I have to choose Ricky Weeks. Just impressive in the past, just not June, but in the past week, he's hitting 375, home run, two RBIs. He's just looking really solid at the plate. And like we said before, we don't know if that's a scooter.
Are you still there, Ben?
Yes, I am. We don't know if...
Ben?
Yes?
Ben?
We don't know if the Ricky Weeks thing is a scooter issue or what it is exactly. Okay, so Lou, who's your pick for Goat of the Week?
Goat of the Week is Ben's internet.
Yes, I'm going to have to agree there. But in terms of Brewers, I'm going to go with Mike Gonzalez just for today.
Your internet is worse than Mike Gonzalez.
But it brings more, you know, misfortune to us than it does.
Your internet makes Mike Gonzalez look like a gold medal in skeet shooting.
Yes, it.
Internet makes Mike Gonzalez look awesome.
Yeah, and for those of you who haven't really caught on, because I'm going to have to edit this when I'm done, we disconnected like four times because my internet just doesn't like me. And probably doesn't like Mike Gonzalez either. But next week will be our... we'll have another episode next week. And then we'll have our one in Miller Park, so...
Yeah, we'll be live from Miller Park. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Next week I won't be with you because I will be in Seattle. So I will. I'll see you in person next time I really talk to you, Ben. So
yeah, sounds good. And as always, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for next week.